I am Plunt on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Pemberton Music Festival is on the 14th through the 17th of July, and one of the comedians will be performing is Ian Abramson. He joins me now to talk about his career thus far. He's gotten some great notices. He's a Just for Laughs new face of 2015 and LA Weekly's best up-and-coming comic of 2015. He is the host and co-creator of 7 Minutes in Purgatory, a live show that Comedy Central has added to their Snapchat channel lineup. That's where comedians perform in a soundproof room to a camera. It's been staged at the Funny or Die Hideout at South by Southwest, at Portland's Bridgetown Comedy Festival, as well as the Onion's 2nd Annual, 26th Annual Comedy Festival in Chicago. Chicago is also where Mr. Abramson studied at Second City and IO Theater. He's originally from Moreno Valley, California, and after a few years in Chicago, has relocated to Los Angeles. He's also host of the AV Club's monthly experimental comedy show, Bellhop. Visit PembertonMusicFestival.com for tickets and information. Ian's own website is at IanAbramson.com. Please welcome to the Plunt Online program in Los Angeles, Ian Abramson. Mr. Abramson, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have you performed in Vancouver before?
No. Have you?
No, barely. No, I barely live here.
You barely live there? How long have you barely lived there?
I'm 34, and so I guess my whole life, 34 years.
34 years you've barely been living there. That's great.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of discussion here about just how expensive it is, and I'm sure, you know, wherever anyone lives, I guess, I've never heard of anyone say, like, even if they live in Alabama, say, that it's really affordable to live here. I mean, we all complain.
Right. The more people that there are in an area to say that, the less likely it is that they can say that, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Does Vancouver have much of a reputation among comedians, amongst comics?
I've heard good things about it. There's a pretty big divide because it's a different country, unfortunately. But the Vancouver comedians that I've encountered have been absolutely wonderful. So I definitely, basically any comedian from Canada, I've absolutely loved.
Yeah. When you go to a festival like Pemberton, and it's 4 days, do you get to come out for the whole 4 days? Did you come out for part of it? And while you're there, do you get to see some of the other acts, especially the musical acts that'll be performing?
Yeah, you know, I make sure to see as much as I can. Just like anybody, it's exciting, and Pemberton is bringing out so many cool, such a wide variety of people, and so many people that are going to be great to see. I'm excited about the comedy as much as the music. I'm going to be there. I'll be doing like the shuttle. I'll be on the shuttle for at least part of it, and I'll be helping out with that. That's all I can say about that right now. But if you take the shuttle to the fest itself, then you may see me.
I see. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw 7 Minutes in Purgatory. A couple of those, and I looked at the one that you did. And it must be, well, I don't know, you came up with it, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That's my show.
Yeah, so it must be something that other performers, when they have to do it, does it terrify them?
It can be, certainly, yeah. In case people aren't familiar, I'll explain the show very quickly. 7 Minutes in Purgatory, comedians perform to a camera in one room, and the audience watches from a separate room. Mm-hmm. So comedians have no idea how the audience is responding. So that can definitely be intimidating, but it can also just be a blast, you know? Comedians will just kind of have fun and riff and figure out what they want to be. It's like an existential experience.
Yeah. And do you have people who've done it who don't want to see themselves?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. Really? There are people that never want to see it. But those people, without exception, have done quite well.
Yeah. What, other than, say, for the terror of doing it and the audience's laughter watching it, Is there something that comes out of it in terms of how you hone your craft?
I think, I mean, the show started as an experiment to kind of see what would happen and look at that relationship between the audience and the performer. And I think that what you get out of it is just kind of, you look inward. You kind of figure out what's, where you're coming from as a performer on a core level, maybe, you know? Other people, though, rather than just kind of rip and sit in that anxiety, will plan like a big theatrical piece, and that's like a fun, bizarre way to go about it. So there's really a wide variety of what comedians can get out of doing the show.
Yeah, because I like watching comedy and the sort. I mean, I've never thought of doing it myself, but a lot of it, I'm assuming, is reading the audience or playing to an audience. And so if you've got that cut off from you as a performer, what's that
certainly,
like?
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. Yeah, there's a relationship between the audience and the performer, and that's what that show looks at, you know? And I hope that my stand-up kind of plays with that, too. You know, when I, at Pemberton, I'll just be doing stand-up, and I do a bit right now where I am wearing a shock collar, a dog shock collar, and I give the audience the remote, and if they don't like a joke, then they shock me. So if you come see me in Pemberton, you may get to electrocute a man live on stage, you know?
You're really suffering for your art, aren't you?
I'm learning, you know? It's in the same way that a dog may be trained using that device. I'm training myself to tell better jokes.
But don't you think audiences are different, though? And so what people at Pemberton might think is unfunny may work somewhere else, like in Duluth, maybe? Or
absolutely, yeah. But that's why it's important that I do it as many times as possible. You know, I try not to go a day without being electrocuted, whether I'm on stage or not.
I watched a few video clips, and I love the joke about fuck, marry, kill, and then you the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, people can look that up. You don't need to spoil it for them, or they can. You probably use it in Pemberton, won't you? Yeah. What when you get great notices, as you have, you know, best up and coming comic? Does that feel great that the hard work is paying off, or is it a burden? Like, I need to get better.
It's a very nice compliment that I try not to think too much about. Does that make sense?
I
greatly appreciate it, and it's so nice to get that, and it means a lot. But then I try to just kind of not focus on that and not think, you know what, I am the best up and coming comedian. Instead, I just try to be like, you know, okay, what joke am I writing next? What am I working on next? You know, that just be like, oh, that's nice, and then try to focus on what I need to be doing, you know?
Yeah, and you know, the stereotypes of comedians is that they're sad or dark, but the one that I find quite interesting is that they were always funny growing up, and was that the case with you, that as a kid someone said, hey, you should be a comedian?
Unfortunately, I'm not even sure if I exist. So as far as being sad or always being funny when I'm growing up, I couldn't really tell you. You know, I think that I if I do exist, then yeah, I guess that I was I would try to be funny growing up, but I don't know that I was always successful.
Yeah, did you study, I guess, acting first before you went into comedy? Is that correct?
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, I studied theater in college.
Yeah, and then so the move to comedy, I mean, some people think that's a stretch, but I think it's the same sort of skill set, isn't it?
There's definitely a long history. This is so lofty to talk about, but there's a long history of performance of comedy. I'm thinking like vaudeville and kind of coming up in lounges and that kind of evolving into stand-up comedy, and I'm very interested in that, and that's tied into the history of theater as a whole. So I'm very glad that I got to study that.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere, I heard somewhere on another podcast that you said, I guess growing up, you wanted to go into vaudeville and someone told you, well, vaudeville's dead.
Yeah, I was in college and I was talking to an academic advisor, and they were like, I was just kind of spinning my wheels, and they were like, what is it that you want to do? And I said, you know, I just want to be performing every day. I want it to be something that I'm writing. I'm getting to perform often enough that I get to really just keep getting better at that. And this academic advisor knew that I was very interested in vaudeville and said to me, look, you're talking about vaudeville. That's what you're describing, and that's gone. That's dead. Vaudeville's not just going to come back. And then I discovered stand-up, and it was basically that. So I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I was watching, the old movie channel the other day, and they had, I guess, Gypsy, and you see a lot of these old vaudeville acts and the sort, and you know, I kind of wonder why it doesn't come back. I can see why, that's just my personal.
It's just evolved, you know. I think that it's kind of split and reformed into different things. It's almost like vaudeville became movies and concert halls and comedy clubs all at once, you know?
Yeah. Or reality TV shows, like competition shows, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Some of that, certainly.
Are you doing a lot of interviews with Vancouver people prior to Pemberton?
Right now, just you. I only do one interview at a time. That's my rule.
You know? but later today, say.
Yeah, I used to do several interviews at once, and it just got to be too much. I didn't know what I was answering, who I was talking to, or what language they were speaking. So I said, I'm just going to do one at a time from now on. And I'm sorry if that was frustrating for you. I'm sorry if that was tough, but I just figured, you know what, I'm going to give this interview the attention it deserves. That said, I'll be doing a number of interviews before Pemberton, because I'm so excited about that festival.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I was thinking about, if you're doing a lot of these interviews, is they're going to be asking you about Trump.
Trump?
Yeah.
The president? The candidate?
Yeah.
Yeah, they may be. That's interesting. I'm not really a political comedian, so I don't. Do you think that that'll come up consistently?
I think it will, because I know a lot of the interviewers in town, and as soon as they hear that you're an American, they'll think that you have some thought about what's happening in your country.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely. I just I wouldn't think that would be the direction that it'd go. But I'm happy to say that I am confused and terrified that the man exists. So I don't know how Canada sees him, but I'm gonna just give a big oops, we're sorry.
Yeah, I guess the fear up here is that a lot of people who feel the same way will move up here if he does win in November.
Oh man, yeah, we'll see what happens. It feels like we're in a science fiction novel with that. That feels. I remember a year ago that seemed like such a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did have to move recently from Chicago to Los Angeles. Is that correct?
I did because they had a Trump Tower in Chicago, and I said I'm not even going to support the man that much.
But I guess because your career, you're just so busy now with all of these things that you're doing for various outlets. Is Los Angeles the place to be if you're in your line of work, say?
It's one of the places to be, certainly. It's what made the most sense for me. I think that the usual path for a comedian that's starting in Chicago is that they're in Chicago for a while and they move to New York or L.A., and for me, L.A. made more sense than New York. But I have friends in both. So.
Yeah. Well, you grew up on the West Coast, right?
I did. Yeah, I grew up in Southern California, hours away from L.A., but I did grow up in California.
Yeah. What do you like watching, I mean, as a comedian? Are you one of these folks that watches other comedians and actually enjoys them, or are you like Jay Leno and just envious of everybody?
If there's one thing I like watching, it's paint dry. You know, there's a comedian named Paint Dry. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, really?
No, that'd be great, though.
It would, yeah.
I'm going to name my child Paint Dry so that people can either love or hate watching him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every child should just be watched. What am I saying? Okay.
Yeah.
The question was, do I like watching other comedians? The answer is absolutely yes. Whether they are of a similar style or approach to me or completely different, I love watching what they do. It's not all I watch. I watch a lot of TV dramas and documentaries, just things that aren't comedy as well. But I definitely enjoy watching comedy whenever I can. Yeah.
Yeah. What, I mean, do you ever think of yourself going into acting, say? Because you seem like you have the chops to do that, say, on a television show, even if you're, say, on one of those crime dramas as a guest, say.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to act. I'm doing a bit of acting. I had a very tiny role on The Middle a couple months ago, mm-hmm. a sitcom out here, and that was a blast. I'm doing whatever acting that they'll let me do.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to make a parody of Citizen Kane, so I'll be doing a lot of acting in that. And I'm very excited about it.
Are you doing the Hearst part?
I will be Citizen Kane himself. I'm making it. I wrote it with some friends, and Orson Welles was 26 when he made Citizen Kane, the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah.
I'm 27, so it's too late for me, but I can still make the greatest parody of all time. I'm making a parody of Citizen Kane.
Did people tell you that you look like Welles? Because now that you mention it, you kind of do. A young Welles, at least.
I take that as a compliment. I think he for having such an odd face, he was a good-looking man.
Yeah. Yeah. What struck me about Welles was, because I interview people, was how good a guest he was, even in later years when he wasn't really... He'd go on talk shows even if he wasn't promoting anything, and he would just, you know, bullshit people, or, you know,
yeah,
marvelous at that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Rate me. How good am I as a guest?
You're terrific.
Oh, go on.
No, because some comedians come on here. some comedians come on here and think that they shouldn't be funny, and, you know, they're talking about their feelings or something like that, which is fine. But
sure.
You know, you're I think you're doing both at this point.
Great, love it, perfect. Hey, you're doing great too. We're a great team.
I appreciate it. What the other thing about other comedians I was going to ask you a moment ago was I feel very suspicious about comedians who don't laugh, and I think Louis C.K. is marvelous, but I can't think of the last time that I saw him really laugh, and. But you know, I think of Ricky Gervais on the other side, who laughs at pretty much anything, and mm-hmm. and is a marvelous audience. I mean, is there a link there? Do you think that if you don't laugh,
I think that can be a tough gauge for a comedian, because if you're watching comedy, I heard Conan O'Brien once say that you just kind of get into this like mechanical mindset, so you can just be watching something and just kind of focused on it, nodding your head, and you'll say, wow, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. That is absolutely, I've never seen anything funnier than that whatsoever. And you're just kind of taking it in and looking at it. And I definitely laugh. I love to laugh, and I watch it. But then I'll also find myself just kind of being a little more analytical or taking it in and looking at the mechanics of what somebody's doing. And in those instances, I probably am laughing less, even as I'm appreciating it just as much. So that can be tough.
And so when you hear an audience laugh, what does that do for you? Does that make that all the more special or worth it, say?
I would say it's more of a relief.
more
than it is a jolt of happiness. It's more of a relief of like, okay, that worked. Okay, good. You mean when I'm performing?
Is that
what you meant? Yeah. It's more that, okay, good. I'm glad that that worked, that they enjoyed that they understood what I was talking about and that it resonated on some level.
Yeah, I guess that's what really life is all about, isn't it? Just getting through the day and at the end of the day, feeling relief, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
Or in my case, at the end of an interview.
Right. Yeah, in the same way, it's like if you're turning in a report at work, and somebody says, hey, this was great, you know, it's kind of like, it definitely feels good, but it's more relief than it is anything bad.
Yeah, I must say that in preparing for this, I wasn't anxious about doing this. I mean, I figured you're a pretty talented guy, so we could get through it, and we have, and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Do people wish comedians well by saying break a leg, or?
Sure, hey, there's no wrong way to do it.
Well, break a leg, nonetheless. Thanks for this, Ian.
You too. Hey, thank you very much.
The website for more, PembertonMusicFestival.com and IanAbramson.com. Ian Abramson joined me on the line from Los Angeles in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.